Welcome back, everyone. We got some stuff to talk about this week, for sure. If you guys are keeping up on international affairs, current affairs, current events, if you will, right? News coming out of Tehran is the leader of Hamas has been killed. I guess you could use the term assassinated, but I don't really know a lot of details on this. I picked this up in bits and pieces between like Instagram and some of the reports on the radio this morning as I was, you know, going to and from a doctor's appointment. So a lot of people would probably see this as a very positive thing, right? Hey, this, you know, we don't like Hamas for the most part. They are regarded as a terrorist organization by most. And I say most because obviously if you guys have been paying attention, you know, there's a lot of protesters out there cheering for free Palestine and, you know, that Hamas is they're freedom fighters, they're revolutionaries. I think that anybody that resorts to their level of tactics and, barbarism, I don't particularly align myself with that, regardless of if they're in the right or in the wrong. I think there's, to some extent, a right and a wrong way to carry that kind of thing out, if that's your position. But so a lot of people would consider this to be a good thing. Looking at it, no one, at least that I have seen or read so far, nobody has come out and claimed responsibility for this, which is funny. Anytime any kind of attack is taken against the U.S., you have like four different groups that raise their hand and go, "That was us. We did it." They took the big swing at the big dog, or at least that's the way it used to work. I know our standing on the global scale of things has suffered as of late under leadership with the Biden administration. Our global policy is not what it probably should be and what it has been, but it is, to for sure point out, a big deal, because as we were getting close to peace, you know, peace talks or a ceasefire, a treaty, whatever, you know, verb you want to, or word you want to throw on that, right? There was indications that we were somewhat close to a ceasefire and a halt of the aggressions between Israel and Hamas. Hamas is still, by the way, holding hostages, and it's going on. It's been a long time now. This is several months. Who knows what this will mean, depending on who is determined to have been responsible for this, if we're able to get any more information on it. I really don't know. But that's one we're definitely going to be keeping our eye on. It's a big deal, considering that as we head into our own election here in the United States, the issue of supporting Israel, and they've been our partners for, you know, 50 plus years at this point, right? What does this mean? What is it going to, is it going to change anything? Is it mean, are we going to contribute more money or resource? We don't really have more money to contribute, honestly, but we always seem to find it. But regardless, right, this is something we should all be keeping a close eye on. Certainly something that is going to have long lasting impacts, you know, more than just a couple days here, but that's not what we're here to talk about this week. Actually going to talk more about team building and team refinement. As we get into it, this is something that gets brought up all the time, the team component, right? Building your circle, building your tribe, whatever, you know, whatever kitschy, cool, trendy term you want to throw on you and your boys getting together and doing some training. And I'm down for it. Like, if you want to call it your tribe, man, like whatever. I mean, a lot of people find it's closer to a brotherhood. That's what a lot of the allure is with people in the military and law enforcement. Certainly, I think that there are some parallels to be drawn there with civilian preparation and training if done in the right ways. I'm not saying that every group like that. I mean, a lot of guys will start throwing around the word brother and talking about each other as if they're something that they're not. But we're going to get into that because there's some challenges, there's some trials that have to be gone through, not even specifically because we've talked before about building, right, your group and growing your network, but what happens when you we're going to focus a little bit more on what happens after that, after you establish your group, after you get your dudes together and you're out there, you're working on training, you're working on learning, you're working on growth and development, right? So what does that look like? What kind of problems may you face? How do you tackle those? I mean, how do you head them off before they become a real issue? You know, so maybe some things that, hey, if you're just getting started with your friends, here's some stuff to look out for. Maybe you can avert some disaster, so to speak, with some of this information. Maybe it'll be helpful for you. But before we get into this week's topic, of course, want to say thank you to our Patreon patrons. You guys, it's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. That's the Patreon page. If you guys want to go head on over, check it out, throw us some love. It is greatly appreciated. We got long form video stuff that we can't really post on Instagram, and maybe not high quality stuff that you would want to put out on YouTube, but it's things that, you know, patrons have asked for. We get, you know, feedback on and things like that. Or if you just want to throw us some love, like, that's all appreciated. You can head on over to Patreon, download some drills and some free targets that we have available. And the targets and drills, those are actually available to the public. So you guys can go check those out if you like. It's also kind of our repository for, you know, discount codes that may not all be completely publicly accessible. So just all kinds of good information. But beyond that, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. This is a sponsored podcast, and we work with some totally badass companies. So thank you, of course, to our friends at Custom Night Vision, you guys. Their website is customnightvision.com. So if you are looking to get into night vision, I highly recommend you check out their YouTube channel as a starting point, because a lot of the questions that people have, they either feel weird or shy or bashful or maybe somewhat stupid, right, about asking. And Custom is here to provide the most transparent buying experience possible. And for them, that starts with education. So you can check out their YouTube channel. Kevin does a fantastic job. I was actually just sharing the video the other day with the housing review he did, because everyone has questions. There's options now for monotube devices. There's questions for binocular tube devices. No one really knows pros, cons, features. What should I look at, think about? They put out a ton of information. And the website, again, it's customnightvision.com, is your one-stop shop for all of it. So once you determine, you know, hey, I want a PVS-14, but maybe, I don't know, should I get green phosphor, white phosphor? Does it make a difference? Is there as much of a, you know, an advantage to it as people like to say, or does it really come down to personal preference? The team at Custom is there to help you. They have an in-site chat function that's built in, so you can reach out. You can talk to Ben, Kevin, one of the guys over at Custom, and ask these questions. Hey, you know, do I really need, you know, 2300 plus on FOM, or will be okay with 1800 or 2000. What does FOM even mean? What's signal to noise ratio, right? All the stuff that some people really nerd out about, but a lot of people getting into night vision for the first time, they really don't know, and they want to make sure that they make a good purchase. And guys, Custom does the work for you. They will not steer you wrong, you guys. So whether it's you're looking for your device, or maybe you just need to swing through, maybe you're looking at getting a laser, right? So maybe like a Steiner D-Ball, or maybe you got a little bit more coin burning a hole in your pocket. You want to get into something like a Raid. They have all of that stuff in stock. One last time here, their website is customnightvision.com. Guys, head on over, check it out for yourselves. Pick up some gear. Let them know we sent you. They will take great care of you. Also want to say thank you to the team at HRT Tactical Gear. You guys been running their ARC belt system for 9 months, coming up probably on almost on 10 months here, and it's outstanding. It is a adjustable rigid core system, so made completely out of this Tigris material that we all have started to see pop up all over the gear market, right? Very rigid and very lightweight. So what that means is, because of the rigidity, it's going to help distribute the weight across your hips, and because of the unique shape of their belt system that I don't see on too many others out there, is it actually conforms to the shape of human hips. Very, very comfortable. So with loaded mags, loaded down med kit, a pistol, you know, on the opposite the mags, loaded down right on the range, the weight almost disappears. It's actually crazy. I have never had that good experience with any of the one-piece belts that I've ran. This is a tremendous design, and Josh and I love the belt in conjunction with their mag pouches, the perfect retention out of the box. Guys, you can head on over to hrttacticalgear.com, check out the ARC belt, the ARC belt system with its pouches, and a whole lot more. We want to say thank you as well to our friends over at 100 Concepts, you guys. Their website is 100concepts.com, if you didn't know that at this point. And man, their light caps, their scope caps, they're pretty much the standard. You know, I feel comfortable saying that. The guys at 100 won't, but I will. I think, you know, you're pretty hard-pressed to walk onto a range today and not see dudes running their caps on their scopes, or at least their white lights. And if you don't have a white light, you're doing it wrong, guys. But when you do get that white light, head on over to 100concepts.com, check out their ruggedized light caps. And if you're running a red dot, if you're running a scope, their hex caps, their pro cap series are great solutions to cut down on reflection. That should be a real consideration if you're realistically trying to prepare yourself for, effectiveness out in the world. They also make some really cool pack scrims, helmet scrims. They have solutions for all kinds of different things. Their Sling Hook 2.0, they released that a couple months back. And if you're going to be out rucking in the woods, highly recommend that. It will save your neck for sure. Guys, one last time here, it's 100concepts.com. And last but not least, thank you to the team over at RMA Defense. You guys, RMADefense.com is the website, and they are one of the top armor providers here in the United States. Completely U.S. made products and reliable. You're not going to have to worry about, you know, NIJ ratings, flip-flopping between passing and not passing, some drama in the market. And you're also, here's the real nice part, you're not going to have to worry about breaking the bank. There's some companies out there that are charging, you know, over $2,000 for their level 4 plus, or for level 4 plates, I should say. Not RMA. You guys, they have some killer sales going right now for about $400. You can get their level 4 plates, and they have a ton of options available. I'm running their level 3A plus, so they're 2.5 pounds, multi-curve, very lightweight, extremely comfortable solution, you guys. And you can even use discount code PREPAREDMINDSET5 to save yourself 5% off of your order. So again, it's RMADefense.com. Head on over to the website, use the discount code, save yourself some coin. Now, let's get into this week's discussion around teamwork and refinement and what comes after we put together the team. So you have your team, you guys are together, you're buddies, you're talking online, right? You've been to the range a couple times. Everybody, we've gotten past that introductory stage of kind of figuring out if you want to work with some of these people. And I don't want to underscore or undersell that point, because it's a pretty critical part. You know, you need to be able to trust people. I'm not saying you complete and unquestioned trust right out the gate, but we've talked before, competency and safety on the range are paramount and fundamental, but also being able to gauge at least somewhat accurately the passion, the determination, the drive, right, to actually get better. Those are all things that when you're building your network, I don't like to use the word tribe, but I guess, you know, when you're building your tribe, whatever, you should look at those things. Those all need to be very, very carefully considered in a lot of different ways. Different personality types, things like that. But once we get together, there's a whole, the work really begins. It's not, I mean, it can just be fun range days and shooting, you know, your favorite cold start, or, you know, you wait for the Mojo video to come out every month, and then you and your buddies run out and you try to run it too. All that stuff is really, really good stuff. It's good for building camaraderie. It's good for just building familiarity with each other and getting a gauge of where people's skills and goals and things are, because you're going to get a wide breadth of skills and ability. That shouldn't necessarily be something that you steer away from, because some people will have talents and passion and gifts, in different realms, right? Some people will be very, you know, IT and communications focused, right? We have one of my buddies and that's like recently kind of started working with us and everything, diving down the rabbit hole, learning, you know, ATAC and ITAC and the ins and outs and the pros and cons between Android and iPhone platform, right? So when you start bringing people together, it's not always about their pure performance on the range. That's where I think some people lose sight of it. But as a group, the goal overall, right, is to be effective, to be proficient, to be capable, right? So in the unlikely scenario that you do have to come together, you're able to coordinate quickly, you're able to be effective and capable together. What you don't want to happen, right, and this is everybody's worst, you know, imagining of all this, is we have more of all the fun shit that happened right after the last election, where people are burning cars and buildings and looting and acting like assholes. And you, as somebody who live in this area, you and your buddies, you know, hey, this is what we are doing this for. This is what we're talking for. This is what we're building towards, right? Or have been building towards. Like, plan, engage, right? And you get together and you all look at each other and go, well, what are we doing? Well, somebody make a decision. So you have to at least, or you should, I should say, you should have a plan in place, and you should have certain I'll say certain SOPs defined within your group, ideas of how you're going to handle different roles and responsibilities within this network. And you can take that as far as you want. That could mean that you include wives, like if somebody's wives are just really like into gardening and food prepping and things like that and food storage, make it a family affair. Why not? But in terms of building your effectiveness as a group and as a team, that needs to be predefined. That planning needs to be done and carried out. Where this gets really hairy is you have to figure out as a group, right? Or ideally as a group of peers, which directions you're going to go with certain things. It can be, you know, let's look at tactics as a great example of this. Different people that come together in these melting pots of individuals, right? And you may have people with different military experience. You may have people with law enforcement. You may have people who are just purely civilians that work, you know, blue collar jobs or maybe even white collar jobs, but maybe they've taken a lot of classes or maybe they haven't, but they shoot a lot or practice a lot. You mean like I said, everyone's going to have different levels of skill and varying degrees of competency on different things. The issue that you have to tackle first and foremost, if we're talking about tactics, are things like your SOPs. You know, if you're a group that is concerned with being able to be effective inside a structure, CQB, right? Probably a good idea to work through some of that stuff in advance in some practice runs. There are differing schools of thoughts around almost every facet of what we do. So whether that's small unit movement, whether that's communications and some of the stylistic things that go with that, or CQB, right? Whether you're a big proponent of limited penetration. I happen to not be. I know a lot of people subscribe to that method. So it's good to get together and work through these things. There are people that actually argue against having SOPs, and they would rather that you don't define anything. They want, or I should say they advocate for everybody in the group to be, I guess, good enough and tuned up enough to be able to just respond and react to whatever the person in front of them is doing in CQB and in small unit movement and things. And to a degree, that's the expectation, but it's also why you have to train and practice. So you're pretty much, I would say, in no cases ever, are you going to get 4 to 6 random dudes with varying degrees of experience and background, right? Drop them in a shoot house situation and be able to just magically work through it. It doesn't happen. Usually you'll have a couple guys moving faster than other dudes. You'll have different preferences. You know, hey, we double pan every door. Hey, I don't even know what the hell you're saying with a double pan. We, you know, do a threshold assessment. We do limited penetration. We talk shapes and things like that. There are some conflicting ideas there. And this isn't, and the problem here, and again, you can apply this piece of it truthfully to any skill set that involves more than one person. The problem here is that it turns into a which way is better discussion. And in truth, it's not about the merits of one skill set over the other. It's about what the group as a whole prefers over what they don't prefer. So if you don't like limited penetration CQB, like I said, I don't, you know, luckily I don't really have to deal with that too much because most of the guys that I train with and coordinate with, we've been through classes for CQB that don't teach that. So for me, it's not an issue. For a couple other buddies, maybe it is. Or maybe they're willing to learn, you know, hey, I've been through classes where we learn the limb pen style. I want to see what you guys are doing. Either they just want to learn it so they have even more knowledge, which is totally cool. If that's what your group adopts as a standard practice, then they can be capable and effective. And let's not like get that twisted. There's still a lot of overlap. So, you know, if we're talking about, you know, different like small unit movement, right? Different hand signals and things like that to communicate different ideas and stuff like that. The movements and the core fundamentals on a lot of this stuff, I would say, is like, at least in my knowledge, and you guys could discount what I'm about to say because what the fuck do I know? But the core fundamentals overlap about 75% in almost everything. Okay, there's communication etiquette over radios and comms. You know, can you take that other 25% and set it up however you want? Yeah, I mean, you guys can use call signs, you want to use names, you want to use encryption, you don't want to use encryption. You know, there's a whole lot of different ways you could take that in defining how your team's going to be effective together. If you're going to mandate that everybody has the same radio, or you don't care about you know, models of radio as long as they have that encryption. Or maybe you don't care about encryption at all because nobody in your group has the knowledge to even be effective with it. So it's a non-issue, but then you have to find ways to be creative and address that, you know, in the aggregate. So we're going to communicate less verbally and more non-verbally. And that can even be lent to the CQB discussion. That's something within a lot of different SOPs and ideologies in room clearing and structure clearance, or even just group movement in general, is verbal versus non-verbal commands, verbal versus non-verbal communication. So some examples of that is, you know, during threshold assessment, if you're going to do a double pan to gather information, things like that. I personally do not prefer any unnecessary verbal communication. There are people out there that think, you know, hey, you need to be as verbal as possible when you're clearing a structure. And cool, if that's the way you want to do it, like, down with that. I would say go train it and make sure everybody has a concise method of communication. If you guys are using a shorthand, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page with that. If we're doing all verbals and I roll a door and I'm looking at the guy next to me going, I got a short wall threshold, you know, threshold Riley and, you know, closet deep. Okay, so what the hell is a short wall? Why did you say Riley? And okay, I think there's a closet somewhere. You know, so short wall meaning that it's a corner fed room. I'm probably not going to make entry first because I'm going to run into a wall. I would just go, you know, down that wall rather than, you know, going left on the doorway or whatever. Riley is just something you could use. You could build into your communication. You could do Lincoln and Riley, versus saying left and right. And that's just, if you are communicating verbally, you don't always want to telegraph, you never want to telegraph information to your adversary or opposition if you can avoid it. So it's not really a code word, but, you know, Lincoln starts with L, meaning left, Riley meaning right, because it starts with an R. Now, here's the counter argument to some of that stuff too, is, you know, talking outside the threshold, A, it's going to be louder, it's going to give things away. B, I just rattled off a whole bunch of shit. Do you guys know what room I'm talking about? Because, like, I have a very specific room from Battlefield CQB, which is the place that we go to train. I'm envisioning that in my mind as I'm sitting here spurting that out to you. But do you feel any more comfortable to take that room with me, to assault that room, to clear that structure with me? I mean, and the answer should be no, unless you've also been through the class with me and maybe guessed on which room I'm talking about. The point being there is that it's actually less helpful in some instances because too much information if your group cannot process information quickly, too much info can be a bad thing. Instead, the hope would be, or the goal should be, that when you enter a room or approach, you know, again, this doesn't have to be in the scope of CQB, but things like small unit movement, like linear danger areas and things, how do we approach this? How do we safely negotiate solving this particular problem? You would hope then that you have at least four people that are tuned up enough in what you're doing and how you as a group have agreed to do it, that you're able to, you know, if it's a room, right, we all make entry, we can all read that room, we can all see what needs attention. We use, you know, muzzle wags or, you know, a single barrel lift to signal it. And maybe that means you brush together or something and you address those issues because you've worked on it and you know how you as a group are going to address those. And it's even if it's six or eight guys, it doesn't have to be the same four-man fire team going through every single CQB scenario, right? The idea should be if you have six or eight of you, there's enough practice there, there's enough effort put in and time devoted that you can swap out, you know, different guys and you're all going to understand this is kind of how we do this. We take corner fed rooms this way, whatever. When we come to linear danger areas, this is how we like to bump for crossings when applicable. This is how we set security, things like that. Here's our signals for a linear danger area. That's all stuff that you can, and there's multiple ways to signal it. You know, that was one of the conversations that I had with Josh and John last year after they took the small unit tactics course at the HTA range day. They took it with Blake and Alex, and hey, yeah, I mean, it's not anything we really didn't know. They just have a little bit different way of approaching it. Some of the hand signals are different, and in honesty, a lot of us, we talked about it in our group, and a lot of us actually liked the hand signals that Blake and Alex were teaching because of their simplicity. over what we had been using previously with some of the big army signals and things like that. And is it a big deal? No. Is that to say that what the army does is wrong? No, it's not saying that one's better than the other. You're literally just taking a poll with throughout the group. What do you like more? What's easier for you to retain and remember? And let's just decide on something. And that can be a real sticking point because, unfortunately, one of the largest problems that we encounter in this community, in this space, right, is over-calibrated ego. Is, I guess, the phrase I'll use for that. You know, you'll have people that'll say, well, you know, I was in the Navy and we learned how to do shipboarding this way, so we're going to always do this. Or I was a Marine, and in the Marines, what I was taught is XYZ. Again, it's not about what's right and what's wrong here or what's better and what's worse. It's about what you and your group decide you want to do. Now, there's a healthy amount of observation and inspection that I think they should go into that. Hey, I understand you like this method, and I understand that a lot of us like this method. You know, I would like to point out that there's a flaw in this. You know, if you guys are going completely off old school army doctrine, hey, the 1.5 wall or points of domination stuff that used to be taught 20 years ago, they've poked a lot of holes in that shit. That's not the best way to approach this. You know, and again, that's one example that we can look at here. But hey, I know that 6 of you guys thought it was cool because 2 of you really liked it and the other 4 kind of just follow suit. That's nothing against the 4 that follow suit. They just may not know what they don't know. It's okay then, and it actually should be promoted to disagree with what is being suggested. And hey, I think we should do it this way. Here's my problems with what you're saying here. Have a discussion. It's one of the, because of this over-calibration or oversensitivity of ego that gets introduced to a lot of these conversations. And again, it can be in absolutely anything, right? Is that a disagreement or a question of effectiveness is indicative of poor quality? A lot of times it's not. You know, hey, it could just be, we want to make sure everybody understands and agrees here. Somebody, and it doesn't, and that's not even tied to military experience. Somebody with no experience at all could look at something arbitrarily, right? Look at it and go, well, hey, but doesn't that limit, you know, ABC? And then you guys sit back and go, holy shit, he's right. Never thought about it that way. Because here's the thing, military doctrine, same thing with law enforcement policy and SOPs and things, they change all the time. Why do they change? Because we find new and better ways to address and solve some of these problems, like room clearing, like nonverbal communication, like, you know, radio communications. Hell, we've adopted, and, you know, I've had a conversation just recently with people like, yeah, tactical comms get run through a radio setup. Additional communications to keep that airway clear can be run through cell phones. Like, we have additional tools. These things have changed and developed and grown over the last 5 years, 10 years, let alone the last 20 or 30, right? So again, I'm going to keep saying it. It's not about what's right and what's wrong in terms of better or worse. It's what you as a group find to be most effective for your group. Like I mentioned earlier, encrypted comms, it's great. A lot of people in the communication space would say it's a necessity. However, I will argue that point. If you're in a group full of dudes that don't know jack shit about comms, don't think you have to go out and spend $1,000 on a comm setup per person when you won't even know how to use it. That's money better spent on training ammo or other kit or things that may be more important. You know, buying food, buying water that has a long-term shelf life, buying emergency blankets and supplies, things like fire starters and batteries and flashlights for around the house. Because I think most households have like a flashlight, which when you lose power, everyone is suddenly reminded about how shitty it is only having one light source. We turn on the light in our cell phones, which does very little other than help us pee without missing. And then the power comes back on and we're like, yeah, I should probably get another flashlight, and we never do. But I digress. My point is that there are other places, arguably better places, where that money could be spent if you're going to spend it and not be able to be effective with it. Make a smart and informed purchase. So all of that to say, right, like, yeah, it may be the better idea, but it may not be the best idea for your situation in your group. Now, if you guys decide, hey, we're all going to commit to this, we're all going to spend the money, we're all going to get the classes and training. And by the way, I will shout this out. Lindsay Du with Orion Training Group. Lindsay's awesome. She's a very, very good resource for radio stuff. She does give private classes and lessons and things like that on radio. If you are looking to get some of this stuff squared away and set up for you and your group, reach out to her, tell her I sent, you know, let Lindsay know that I recommended it. She'll take good care of you guys. I've attended one of her classes, and I believe I'm attending another one first weekend in September on squad-based communications. Because some of this stuff goes down some real rabbit holes. The nice part with Lindsay's classes, anyways, is that she can do it all over a Zoom call, so you don't have to drive anywhere, fly anywhere, or, you know, travel with all this stuff, and you can ask all sorts of goofy questions and stuff. But again, to bring it back to what we were originally discussing, people are going to bring different points and perspectives to the conversation based on their experiences. Now, you know, this is where you also have to some degree evaluate individual personalities, aggressiveness, and maybe this is like your second level, I should say, your second level evaluator of if an individual is really worth keeping around. And I don't mean that to come across maliciously, and it's probably going to sound pretty shitty when I say it that way, but there isn't really a nice way to say that if you're going to be a piece of shit and you're actually going to be a detractor to what we're trying to achieve here purely because you can't set your own thoughts and ego aside, then you're actually not helping anyone and we need you gone. If you think you're just going to walk in the door and because you were a Marine or, you know, you were a Ranger, we're just going to do everything you say, that's not how it should work. In some instances, that's how it may work. And I fear that just because you are the loudest voice, that is sometimes mistaken as being the correct voice. Not always true. Had this conversation over the last couple weeks as well. You know, a lot of people, myself included, right? I don't make it a large habit or a regular practice to question the effectiveness, the policies, whatever, the best practices of some very squared away groups, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I know better than the Rangers or Marine Recon, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, me and my five fucking buddies, you know, two of which were in the Army and three of whom were not. One who is trying to, you know, potentially become a police officer, one who might become a reserve officer, and two that have no plan of doing either but enjoy shooting, right? So like, we're talking, it's not an apple to oranges comparison, but it's fair to question those practices because the resources of the conventional military and even the unconventional, if you're talking about like Ranger Regiment or maybe Green Berets or something like that, right? Because obviously these people do this stuff after they get out as well. It is not it's not a bad thing to question those practices and those opinions and thoughts. Again, just because you're the loudest voice doesn't mean you're the correct voice. And I do see it happen, right? So because you're in the military, you want everybody to do what you do. Because, you know, this way you can teach everyone. Or, well, hey, nobody can bitch because you're getting free information. Well, I mean, yeah, we're getting information, but you benefit here too. And I think that's the worst part is when the ego comes to the point of, like, well, I'm giving you free information. Like, you're not doing us any favors. It is a collaborative environment. It's a team of peers. It is so that everybody brings something to the table. And, you know, maybe what you bring to the table is literally just another warm body. Maybe what you bring is a skill set that nobody else has access to, right? But that's never to say that one person is always the one who's right. And I think that's something that a lot of groups should look out for and be very wary of purely based off of some very arbitrary characteristics. Prior military service is a huge one. Yes, maybe. Here's the thing. The quality of the information that those people will bring to the table will speak for itself. I've said this a lot of times before. The real dudes out there, the real hitters or the real operators or whatever you want to call those folks, right? The individuals who are squared away, reliable, and just straight up just good men, in my experience, they don't behave that way. They're not going to sit there and want to like big dick everybody in the room. They're going to say, hey, this is the way we should do it. If it doesn't, if they know for a certainty or if they feel it very strongly, like in their heart or in their mind that the decision that's made is one that's going to, you know, cost lives or something like that, they'll let you know. And ultimately, if things aren't heading in a direction that they find to be suitable, they can leave. and probably will if it's not running the right way, which is why it's important to listen to each other and, again, collaborate. But at the same time, it's worth pointing out here, you have to contribute. Something that I've had to work through both professionally and, you know, personally in the instances that we're talking about here, it is never the right answer to just be somebody that comes to table and bitches. If you don't have a solution, don't come to the table. Hey, I don't like this SOP. I don't like that we're all making everybody carry a tourniquet on the small of your back, because that's where, you know, one person carries their med kit and tourniquet. So now everybody has to carry it there, so we all know where it is. So, okay, well, I agree that it's probably helpful to at least some degree that we all know on everybody's person where at least one tourniquet is located. Does that mean everyone has to carry all of their tourniquets in the same locations? No, but maybe at least one or two, right? One on your carrier is uniform for everybody, and one on your belt is uniform for everybody, because we may not always be running full battle rattle, right? Maybe that's the way you approach it. Does that mean that you're only carrying two tourniquets? Dude, I know guys that carry four and five tourniquets. That's fine. Carry the rest of them wherever the hell you want. But the point is that you can be effective as a group because we all know where you can find one when you need one. But if you're the guy coming to the table going, well, I don't think I should be told where I should carry this, or I just disagree with that, I think that's a dumb idea. And hard stop. That right there is the end of it. As somebody who's listening to that, my thought would, if I was the one who suggested the SOP or the best practice, right, that's being discussed here, right, my first thought would be like, okay, well, what's your idea then? Tell me why this is wrong, or tell me how do we make this better? And as somebody, at least somebody who's just observing and listening on this conversation, my thought would also be, well, then what's your idea? And the problem is that without a suggestion just becomes a bitch session. And at that point, it degenerates more to the ego side of things. Well, so you're saying this is wrong, but you don't have a better way to do it. And because you don't have a better way to do it, it just sounds like, you know, it's a hollow argument based off of personal feelings and emotion, right? Rather than off of fact and in an effort to indeed make things better. And again, I 110% encourage the discussions. I think that it is absolutely healthy, if not necessary even, to disagree on things. And when you disagree, like, ask the question. It's not a bad thing. Like, again, group of peers, group of friends, right? Which means that at any point in time, I can ask a question. Hey, I don't understand this. Why is this way? That's not saying that it's a bad thing. It's, if anything, it's just asking a question. I don't get it. Okay, well, I can explain it. Like, that's not a big deal. Like, you want to take it offline? That's a workplace thing. We can take it offline and talk about it. Or you can say, hey, man, I'm happy to give you a phone call or FaceTime, or maybe it's something really, really simple. You can spell it out in 4 or 5 sentences and go, hey, this is why it works, man. And then everybody's on the same page. Everyone's a little bit smarter for it. Maybe somebody can even say, hey, those 4 or 5 sentences are great. Additionally, here's 2 or 3 more that make it a good thing. And again, that can be with anything. It could be where you put your tourniquets. It can be how you clear a room. If you talk about hand signals or whatever, like any of it, welcome the open discussion. It's never going to be a bad thing. Now, I do say that with the caveat that some people really do lack what I call professional communication skills. And I'm not saying professional in terms of military or law enforcement application. Because I think when we have these particular discussions, a lot of people want to frame your point of reference around how you were spoken to in the military, if you're former military. They want to frame it around how you were spoken to and communicated to in law enforcement, if you're current or former law enforcement. The problem being is that we are all, in the context of these discussions, civilians. Which means you should, to at least some degree, adopt civilian communication styles, which aka corporate communication style, to some degree. I'm not saying everyone's got to be like a master of writing professional communication that offends nobody and communicates everything, because that's an actual skill. But the problem is that sometimes people are very blunt and brazen and rude with their communication method because they, you know, hey, well, maybe they remember when they were in the military and they asked this question, and here's the shitty response they got from their drill sergeant or staff sergeant or whatever, the lieutenant. I don't, I mean, I don't fucking know, right? Could be anybody. And they want to then regurgitate that to provide the same experience to their comrades, their compatriots, if you will. And that doesn't always get taken very well, A, because a lot of us, most of us in the civilian space are not adjusted to law enforcement or military communication styles. I mean, I don't know any of those as a matter of fact, because I've never done either, but I can tell you I've certainly had my fair share of miscommunications and poor discussions with folks based entirely and completely off of bad communication skills in general. So having the disagreement is good. Having the discussion is even better, but you need to make sure if you're going to, this is why I encourage you guys to get together, work together physically, because digital communication like text messaging and emails, or if you guys got like a Discord server or something, right? You can very easily imply and apply tone to a message or a communication, which may not have been intended by the sender. That is, yes, it's more convenient this way because nobody has to leave their house. You can do it while you're on the road traveling for work or whatever, but you can imply tone that may not have been meant in the first place. So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, there's convenience there, but there's also some problems with that. So over-clarifying and over-communicating, especially in the digital space, is better to help keep your team aligned so that when you're working together, when you're having these discussions, off the range, because let's be honest, for most of us, we're getting together at best every other weekend. Or at least I hope that's the case. If you're getting together with your guys every weekend, like, good on you for getting after it. But then I do start to ask questions. I've talked about this before. Like, what is your family doing? Like, what does your wife think? Does she come out and train with you? And if that's the case, like, dude, that's badass. Like, good for you. Like, rock on, man. However, that's typically not how it goes because a lot of people have kids at home. So, in most instances, your wife is home alone with those children. Not always that awesome that you're like, hey, I'm going to go out with my bros and, shoot $200 worth of ammo and drink $100 worth of beer while you sit home feeding the kids mushy peas. Not exactly fair. So, I mean, all this to say, right, most of us get together maybe every other weekend, usually once a month for some kind of training session. So maybe make sure that those are the kinds of discussions that you have. And if you are training, you utilize that time and you take away those discussions after the fact to the electronic realm. But be mindful of how you're communicating these. And then even maybe take it so far as to start to document some stuff, because it does get to be somewhat difficult to memorize. I will caution here, taking some of this, though, too far. What ends up happening is, and we can all remember this back to when we're playing in the neighborhood, right, with the other kids and stuff, leadership structure, implied leadership roles, right? And there's nothing wrong with somebody who's a natural leader or, taking up an implied position, because sometimes you're truly just looked to by your peers for your experience, for your knowledge, right? And that's a great thing, man. It is great to be able to share your experiences and your stories and your information with your bros to help make them better, as long as that's a two-way street. The problem is that a lot of times these people get put in these positions, we come full circle once more to ego, and then this becomes a pseudo-leadership role, and that one person makes all the decisions. When they don't get to make the decisions, it is a huge problem, and they also even further don't take input, criticism, correction, advice, whatever, from anybody else in their circle, which of course is tantamount to like stunting your growth. It's counterproductive. It's counterintuitive to why you guys are all here gathering, right, to work and grow and advance and develop. So that's why, like, consistently we're starting to notice some themes, right? It's okay to disagree, have good communication skills, have the communications right, and like go stuff that ego someplace else. I've said this so many times on this podcast because it was something that was so profound with me, was when I was listening to one of the old Fieldcraft Survival podcast episodes. Fieldcraft is an incredible podcast. I haven't listened to it, I'll be honest, as much as I did when I first started this podcast. It was it's very much an inspiration for me. And I very much enjoyed the discussions with Mike and Kevin. But Kevin Glover, sorry, Kevin Owens, I can't believe I just merged those two. Kevin Owens, who was the co-host with Mike Glover, Kevin Owens said something very profound, which was, you can carry a rifle or you can carry an ego, but you can't do both. And I was like, wow, that should, man, that should like go on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, like get that tattooed or somewhere. Like it just, it resonated so strongly with me, knowing some of the issues I was dealing with the couple guys I was training with back then years ago. Right. And I come back to it all the time now, because you can tie so much of what kills individual training groups in the civilian realm, in the professional realm, it doesn't kill anything because you can't do anything about it. You're a police officer. You can't always do very much about who you work with. You're in the military. You can typically do even less about who you're working with. But in the civilian side, where people aren't required to be there, ego drives people away and creates division more than anything else. It's incredibly toxic. And probably the one thing that should be avoided and steered away from above all else and at all costs. And when it's left unchecked, like, hey, oh, that's just, I feel like sometimes because we are trying to build and grow this group, you know, we have these discussions and then it turns into like, you know, oh, well, that's just how that person is. And I think that in some degrees, that's okay. That's understanding a communication method or a lack of communication skill. However, when we're having these actual interactions around how we're defining how this group is going to work, run, function, be effective in the time that in your time of need, right? When you need to employ these skills, which we, you know, go train for and things like that. And I mean, and don't get it twisted, guys. Like, I hope that none of this is ever like an actual reality. I hope it all just amounts to like some fantasy band camp shit that we all just really enjoy. We all become really, really close friends through all of it. And it never has to be a thing, right? But we have seen in the not so distant past that there is need for a lot of this. Maybe not like full kit and rifles, but certainly medical, certainly communications, certainly navigation. So all that kind of coming back to the point here, that be very weary of the loudest voice in the room and the pseudo leadership structure. If you have one person within your ranks that is above all else pushing to be, you know, the leader, pushing to make all of the decisions, advocating very strongly for a structure that may seem somewhat unnecessary. It's a lot of energy. And I'm not saying in some instances it could be very well, the juice could be worth the squeeze, right? However, it's one of those things that because it works in the military or it works in our jobs every day, right? We all have supervisors, we have reporting trees and structure and stuff, right? The difference is that there is financial compensation behind it that makes us put up with that bullshit. And we can almost all sit here and think of somebody who is above us in the workforce that you cannot figure out how the hell they still have their fucking job, right? But we have mortgages and bills to pay and things we like to buy, like armor and gear and nylon and shit, so we put up with it, right? That qualifying factor, that doesn't exist in the circumstances that we're speaking of here specifically. So you have to be cognizant of that and be very wary if there is somebody who's constantly pushing for that, because typically that means that the motivators behind those actions, behind those recommendations and desires, are probably not in the best interest of everyone. I'm not going to say that's always the case, but I will say, like, hey, you know, maybe start asking a few more questions. Like, why is this such a big deal for you? Why are you not able to work within the rest of the group's confines and considerations? It can take some really, really weird turns, and it can also, again, be very toxic, and it can erode some of the work that you guys have done. Don't be the guy sitting there during, you know, CQB room clearing training who, if you have somebody who's been nominated to lead the training session, or maybe just has a plethora of information and experience, maybe they were a ranger, maybe they are in law enforcement, and what they do is just a lot of CQB, right? So you as a group decided you're going to look to them and listen to them because you like what they have to say, you like that they're there, and you want to learn from them. Don't be the guy on the other side of the room because, you know, well, actually, I was in the Army Reserves, and this is how we do it. So when they say, hey, make sure you're calling out, you know, short room or room clear when you come out or whatever, don't be the guy sitting there criticizing every little thing. Actually, it's small room. Actually, we don't need to call out that it's room clear. Actually, it should be this. No, we should do that. I mean, there's a time and place for all of this discussion and a way to effectively and organically grow and develop as a unit. And we've talked about a lot of it, you know, like we're coming up, you know, shit, we're like 50 minutes here almost. And we've been talking about this. There are ways you're going to grow. If you're doing things the right way, you're going to grow whether you're realizing it or not, just through repetition and through getting together. There are some, you know, just some key behaviors that'll contribute a lot more to your success than any specific, you know, SOP or best practice or, you know, regulation or what, I mean, whatever, right? The biggest one, because again, it's different. It's not the military. It's not law enforcement. This, we're talking civilian application here. The biggest one is just actually having people show up. You know, once your group gets to a point where you're past probably 6 people or 8 people, it becomes very difficult to coordinate all of those schedules at once. I can tell you from our experiences in the group here, with Prepared Mindset, with what we work on, we have guys who have every month have one weekend where they're at National Guard drill. There's nothing we can do about that except try and schedule around it or understand that those that are impacted simply won't be in attendance. Now, does that mean that they have to be there every time? No, and sometimes, depending on what we're working on, maybe it doesn't matter. Hey, we're just going to go to the range and we're going to work on some qualification type stuff, some standards shooting, you know, or whatever. Okay, well, hey, you know what? We're okay missing that one instance. You know, hey, if it's something where it's very unit focused or team focused, so CQB, small unit attack, maybe that's, hey, you know what? We need to have these guys here. Let's look for a different weekend. But attendance is one of the biggest things, because in my experience, you will have people in these groups, they swear up and down, right? Yep, I'm interested. I want to be here. I want to do the damn thing. And it's like, cool, man, we want to have you here. They join your group chat or your Discord or Signal, or I can't even keep track of all the different methods of communication people, you know, put together. But then when it comes down to doing it, right? Hey, we're getting together in 3 weeks to go shoot. Well, you know, I got this going on. All right, man. Hey, no problem. All right, we'll get you to the next one. And then the next month rolls around. Hey, man, we're getting together on this Friday night. We're going to go do this and this. Well, you know, I got to work. Okay. You know what? Hey, I understand. Maybe you and I can get together. We can catch you up, you know, before the next one. And the problem, what I'm getting to here is that you start to see an established pattern of behavior where they talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. And cool, not trying to shit on anybody, not trying to say I don't understand, because sometimes like your job has to come first. And if I was still in a position where overtime was even part of a possible conversation for me, you bet your sweet bippy I would be the first one in line for overtime. God, I miss overtime. But I'm salaried now, so it doesn't matter. I just have to work until the work is done, which can be a good thing because sometimes I work less, but usually that's not quite how that works. There's an expectation there, but I digress. The attendance piece is the only way in a lot of instances people are going to get better. So when you have some of these guys who come from a very civilian heavy background, right? Hey, yeah, like me, you work in finance or you work in IT or you work in healthcare or something. None of those are going to help you shoot any better. I mean, shit, you could work in law enforcement and that's not going to help you shoot any better. We've had tons of conversations and guests here, you know, on this podcast that work in law enforcement and train law enforcement and can tell you that just being a police officer is not in any way, shape, or form something that makes you an expert on marksmanship or even firearms for that matter, you know? So attendance is crucial, but then also just engagement and contribution. If you can't be there physically, be there digitally, be part of the discussions, ask the questions, share resources, do what you can, and overall contribution. There's different metrics that can be measured and things like that. But that is a collective, right? So the training that's done together, the individual skill sets that are provided, the engagement and the attendance, all of those things drive towards your one central goal here of being effective and capable as a group. You know, the singleton, being a singleton in this world, trying to operate and survive effectively is a really, really shitty proposition. I don't care what it is. So Singleton's CQB, bad day. Really, really rough time. Anybody and everybody that's ever had to do it will tell you they would prefer to have another guy with them, or three other guys, or four, you know, 10 other guys with them, right? Nobody wants to do that shit. So these are the things you have to be aware of, or you don't have to. You do it the way you want. If your group has been doing things a certain way for a while, it's been effective, you have like a nominated leadership tree, I think that's a little like militia-esque, and I find it somewhat cringy. My preference has always been that this is to be a group of peers, because above all else, you want to be friends with these people. You want your families to be friends. When you start putting in like a pseudo leadership structure, sort of like the military or even like work, it's like, well, I guess my question then becomes, how often do you go out and barbecue with your boss and his wife? And further, how comfortable are you when you do that? Because typically, you know, we've all seen the comics sketches and skits and things of people like bending over backwards to do things they probably really don't have to for their boss, and kissing ass. I mean, it creates a less than authentic environment is what I'm trying to get to here. So team of peers, man, everybody contributes. Everyone has equal voting power, I guess, when you're making these decisions around how we're going to train. Hey, we're not going to shoot distance because we all live in a deeply, deeply urban area. So we're going to focus on 50 yards and in our shooting. Does that mean that you can't go spend like a day out there working on 100, 200 yards? No, it doesn't mean that. Not at all. But if you're talking about prioritization of how you're going to spend your time as a group, hey, you know, realistically and effectively speaking here, we probably shouldn't be doing that every time we get together as a group. And you know, again, not to say there's not value there, and that being able to effectively apply that weapon platform that you're carrying out to a distance, yeah, that's a good thing. You should work on it and you should push limits. I'm saying, as a group, decide what your individual goals are. And if you haven't had those discussions yet, maybe this is a trigger. Maybe this is when it signals that it's time to sit down with everybody and go, what are some individual goals? I know in my group, we talk about it. I mean, I think it's the New Year's resolution syndrome. Everybody is like, you know, renewed and overjoyed with energy and commitment to wanting to do better this year. Let's talk about what our goals for this year are. I will share that usually we do a pretty fair job at not addressing a lot of those goals. Like the one huge one for us this year, we all said it, we're going to get better at comms. We're going to get better radios. We're going to do practice and really spend more time on that. And we have sucked it up. We have not. and that's fine. Like it's a constant struggle for growth and development. And also it's just like what my father-in-law told me and my father when I bought my home, right? You know, you're excited, you're knocking out projects, there's so much to do. Hey, relax. You don't have to do it all at once. It's the same thing that I tell people when they're like, oh, I want to get involved here. My buddy just went through and bought his first kit, you know, belt and carrier and everything. And I told him the same thing. Hey, man, if you can do it, do it. But it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So if you can only get the belt right now, get the belt, get squared away there, then move on to the carrier and plates, because that's definitely going to cost you more money, but you can be very effective with just a belt and a holster and some pouches. Some people go balls deep, man, and like, cool. And if that's how your group is, like, we're just going to like, we're going to start taking notes. We're going to define SOPs. We're going to write this down. We're going to have a rigid schedule of when we're getting together every month. And I mean, cool. If that works for you guys, if you're all that particular flavor of psycho, then where you have a regularly scheduled weekly or monthly even practice drill training schedule, whatever the fuck it is. Hey man, like if it works for your group, it is not the wrong answer. Typically, given that, you know, shit happens like life and everything, it's probably not going to work that way, but to each their own. But develop the group, refine the group. And here's the last thing that I'll talk on that is probably the most difficult part of all of this, is because you do start to develop personal connections and attachments and relationships, is understand that at some point you're looking at addition by subtraction. At some point, it is probably going to behoove the group to remove people who are either ineffective, inactive, or unengaged. A lot of guys will be like, yeah, because we want to kick them out of our signal chat for OPSEC, you know, or COMSEC. And it's like, all right, secret squirrel, go ahead and like tuck your tail back in. Just chill out for a minute. While there is certainly a decent level of truth to that concern, like I'm not going to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't be worried about that. If you're exchanging like, hey man, here's all of our radio frequencies that we work on. Here's where everybody's address is. Here's how much food and shit we'll have stored. And then obviously you have access to how much gear everyone has, because everyone, myself included, loves to gloat about our gear, talk about our night vision, you know, so you're basically putting that all out there. And if there's somebody you may have questions on, or maybe something like that, right? They have an account compromise and they weren't active to begin with, so you don't know what's going on with them. It, you know, there's a certain level of security there that I understand. Additionally, though, why keep somebody around to occasionally show up who will then have the expectation of being catered to on your training? If they're just going to hold you back further, if they're going to be, let's say they're going to join your Discord and 8 months later, shit hits the fan, or even let's say the election, right? They join your Discord in February. Okay. And 9 months later, it's the election, shit goes sideways, and all of a sudden they pop in going, all right, what's going on? What are we doing? Who am I going with? Who's helping me? You're not going to roll with us, dude, because you haven't trained with us. You don't understand our communications. You don't know how we clear structures. If we have like a best practice for vehicle convoys, or if we have a community plan in place, that's something that, I'll be honest, like our group really has sucked at, is community planning. In the event of emergency, break glass, read this piece of paper. We're all going to meet up at whatever location, or maybe these three guys are going to meet up and then convoy out to X, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is, plan for that. But you may have to take the hard look at some people and say, hey man, like it's not a personal thing. Dude, you just aren't here. Whether you're busy with other shit. And again, if it's work, if it's your family, like that should definitely be your priority. Taking care of your family should always trump all the dumb shit that we pontificate about here on this podcast for the most part, right? Your family should always come first. You should take care of your wife, your kids, your dog, whatever, your home, right? That needs to be your priority. Not trying to shit in anybody's Wheaties if that's what the situation is. But if you're not there, you're not there, and nothing's going to change that short of you being there. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you just got to like cold cock somebody with it out of left field and be like, hey, we just arbitrarily made the decision to prune, the membership by 30% or something like that in this training circle, you know, so you go from, you know, 25 guys down to 18. But again, if people aren't there, if they aren't in attendance and they aren't engaged, that's a detriment to what's going on, because it's a lot of dead weight to pull. Because I mean, the assumption then, right? They're probably not buying supplies. So they're going to be looking to leech off of everybody else, which means you have then assuming you're going to allow them to stay, right? Less food and water to go around because you're now taking care of them. You now have less effective shooters in any kind of kinetic situation, because they don't know your SOPs, they don't know your best practices, they don't know how you non-verbally communicate, they don't know how you do anything. Further, even if they do have a good weapon system, do we even know the last time they shot it? Are they actually a contributing part of any part of this, you know, discussion? Or are they a liability? Because we all know those guys we see show up to the range who haven't zeroed their optics, even though they say they have. They swear they've been in the range in the last 6 months, and you know it's probably been closer to 3 or 4 years, and they want to be a part of what's going on because of safety and numbers, and they know that they fucked up by not having resources and planning and training in place. It's a difficult discussion. It's why people in the professional world hate sitting down having the conversation to fire people. I mean, some people are sick fucks, and they really look forward to ruining somebody's life by taking away their livelihood. Certainly have run into some of those in my life, and I don't understand how someone can be that flavor of asshole. But I know it exists. So that can be tough. But again, your overall goal here is the advancement and growth of your individual group and your effectiveness, your preparedness, right? And your capabilities. So yeah, sometimes it is addition by subtraction. A smaller group of consistent individuals will always be more effective than a large group of undisciplined people that come together to supposedly do the damn thing, which is why you see in, you know, and not to put too fine a term or too fine of a label on all of this, but like, that's why special operations usually smoke the shit out of conventional forces, because you just have a different level of commitment out of those. And it, maybe that's not like the best way to put it, but it's probably the most understandable way to phrase that, right? Is because those 12 or 25 guys, whatever, in that special operations team, whether that's special operations law enforcement or military, right, generally going to beat the pants off of your, you know, conventional forces or conventional teams. It does paint that picture. So again, as I started this whole diatribe, this episode, this discussion, right, all of us are here because we want to have a group of peers to rely on. We want to be self-sustaining as a whole, right? We want to be a part of something greater than ourselves. It's difficult, though. And we've talked about this a number of times here on the podcast. We're going to continue to talk about it because, as we've said, you know, or as I said when I started this whole damn thing, this is a shared learning experience. It's not that we here have this all figured out. I'm telling you that I'm sharing with you the lessons that I've learned and my insight and my opinion. You could tell me I'm full of shit. Like, and by all means, like, I actually welcome those messages. I don't usually get them. That's not an ego stroke. I'm just telling you, I usually don't get anybody messaging me after listening to an episode being like, dude, you're full of shit. Actually, that's not true. I did get one telling me that when we did our discussion, like way back, I think our first 50 episodes or something, we did an episode around the gray man and that whole concept. And then somebody told me, this is just another example of people who don't understand. You should go listen to the Gray Man podcast. They cover it. And I went and like checked, and it's like their episodes were all 15 and 20 minutes or something, or whatever the podcast was. They were only 15 or 20 minutes, and none of them covered any like gray man concepts. It was really, really weird. That's probably the only one that really strikes, you know, a chord with my memory, that people call me on my bullshit or something. And that one really wasn't calling me on bullshit, because I wasn't wrong. They were, I don't know what the fuck, how to even say that. They were wrong. But if you guys disagree with this, if you found more effective ways to do it, like A, party on, Wayne, but B, like, tell me, hey, man, you're wrong. You're just straight up wrong. You don't know. But I think in terms of what I have experienced, in terms of the growth that I have been able to appreciate and or see appreciation of in myself, right? Like, I've observed myself, right, get better, and our group get better, become tighter, closer as individuals. Those relationships get stronger, and things be able to weather some of those storms, you know, arguments, disagreements, whatever have you, right? That's how you know you're doing those things correctly. Everyone wants to get to those points, and everyone wants to get beyond those, but it's not easy. It's not like, hey, you like guns? Yeah, man, I like guns. Cool. Do you like watching, you know, XYZ YouTube channel or PewTube channel, whatever? Yeah, man, I love it too. Cool. Now we're best bros, and now we're prepared together. Like, it's not just a snap the fingers, you know, I dream of genie scenario where you go from zero to one, and everything's all hunky-dory. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and it can end up being a fairly dramatic and stupid experience if you let it be. You're going to probably experience that at least a couple times. Like, it's just how it works because of the lack of rigid structure that just doesn't exist in the civilian space. And for that reason, it's like I said before, that's why I will always prefer a smaller, tighter-knit group of just dedicated individuals than these like vast networks that people create on their Discords of hundreds of people or dozens of people even. Like, you're pushing 20 individuals, and it's like, when are you all going to get together? Probably not. And if that's what you're looking for, then it's probably, you're looking for something different. Because getting people A, that coordinated, but B, all on that same level of dedication, it's not going to happen. You just get a lot of people that talk like they are, and not very many that actually follow through with it. So it's over-promising and under-delivering is what we call that in the professional space here. I encounter that on a fairly regular and reoccurring basis. It's really silly, and it's very annoying when you have to work through it for whatever reason you have to work through it. So, but that's what I wanted to talk about this week, you guys. It's something that, again, I am living through, working through, right, with my guys and Josh and I and John and, you know, the dudes that we train with and talk with and everything. It's not like we're immune to it. We have those same struggles, but those posts seem to do really well on Instagram. When you see guys like Josh Lowry, hey, everybody call out where you're from so dudes can network. And it's always interesting to me to see that there are like groups of dudes or small groups of guys, you know, even near me in the Southeast Michigan area. We had one that popped on like a live I was on with Jared from Orion Training Group. And they're like, yeah, we're in Southeast Michigan. We'd help fill a class. And it's like, you are? Like, what the fuck? Where were you? That we just had a class here in May. And like, I don't know who you are. Granted, that there was only 16 people in the class. But, you know, there are people all around you closer. And just because you haven't found each other, mostly because the algorithm kills it, everyone is always looking to either make their group better, either by adding better individuals or start a new group, by finding good individuals. It's something we are constantly, it's a constant state of flux, right? We're always moving, shaking, changing things up, trying to make it better. So I hope this helps some of you guys that are working through those issues or have worked through it. Maybe you're like, hell yeah, man, I hear what you're saying. I've been through it. Or, hey, thanks, this is helpful. I don't know. Maybe I'm full of shit. Like I said, call me out on it. I don't know. But that's all I have for you guys this week. It's kind of a pivot. You know, we had some other plans for recording. We had some technical difficulties, so are having to accommodate that accordingly, which it happens. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? It's technology and shit happens. But I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. We will have more coming real, real soon, you guys. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.